for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, May 30th, 2005. Final service of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn Miller and Mike Patton are the speakers on this service.
Well, this morning, Mike and I are going to close the last session out. We pray that the Lord will bless you as we teach this morning, and that you'll carry something home with you from every service that we've had here, from every minister, because every session has been wonderful, been wonderful. It's a privilege to have you here. So this morning for a little while, I have been requested to talk a little bit about what I taught on last Sunday and three or four Sundays before that a little bit. And really, the title of it would be, if you want to title it, Satan's Alive and Well. But people talk about Satan, and or they don't want to talk about him. And some people say when you talk about Satan, you're giving him glory. Well, I'm not in agreement with that, because I find that Satan, Lucifer, devils, demons are talked about more than any, well, they're mentioned more than the name of Jesus is mentioned in the Bible. So it must be important. And old Lucifer is first recorded over in Genesis chapter 3, where we, in the very beginning, we find him. He's the very first entity that appears in the Scripture. Satan is. And he appears as a serpent, which he is. He's that old serpent. And so he must be kind of important that we understand about him, because he's the first entity that we have any record of in the Scripture. And over in Genesis chapter 3, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said," he's questioning, "it is written, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the garden of the garden, but of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. You shall know good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now you notice he was there, Adam was there all the time, and God had told him, he didn't tell Eve, he told Adam, that you shan't eat of this, and he said, you're to protect me, oversee the garden and the earth, and look after everything, and Adam kept his mouth shut. I guess this is the first place where Ahab showed up, I guess, but then later on, Adam blames Eve, and Eve blames Adam, and they blame God. But Adam didn't stand up and take his place. "And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, was pleasant to the eye, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and hid myself. Now who told him he was naked? What made him fear? We have all kinds of things happen right here. We've got lying, deceit, fear. What? Go on, help me. Shame. Oh, shame, big time, because they covered themselves. It didn't matter that they were naked, just the two of them. They had been. So why did they cover themselves now? They were ashamed. They were ashamed. But all of these things, and a whole lot more, ended up right there at that moment. And God said, He said, well, who told you that you were naked? He said, have you eaten of the tree? And that I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman did it. And the Lord said, and the Lord said unto the woman, what thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. And he's been beguiling ever since. It hasn't changed one bit. But right here now is also where the first curse showed up. All the curses began right here. And the Lord said, he said, because you have done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle, above all the beasts of the field. You shall go upon your belly, and dust shall eat all the days of your life. And then he said, he put enmity between the woman and the serpent and their seed, and then and her seed would bruise the head of the serpent. And then he said unto Adam, he said, thou shalt not eat of the trees of the earth. The ground shall be cursed all the days of your life. So here the curses began, and we can follow up. We're not going to, but you can read for yourself over in Numbers and in Deuteronomy and other places the curses that God said come upon us when we disobey the word of the Lord. When we disobey the word of the Lord, we automatically bring ourselves under the curses. God does not put the curses on us. We put them on ourselves by disobeying the word of the Lord. People said, well, would God curse me? No, God won't curse you. You curse yourself. But God has said that these things will happen. And so if we disobey his word, then these things will happen to us. Now, Lucifer shows up again in the first chapter of Job. He shows up over here and contends with God. Now, he contended with him here with Adam and Eve, and he got control of the earth. And now he's been ever since trying to get control of all of God's creation. It says, verse 1 of Job, it said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And the man was perfect and upright and one that feared, reverenced, honored God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance was 11,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-calves, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And that was quite a farm he had. That was quite a cattle ranch. I tell you, 7,000 head of sheep was quite a bit, but add 3,000 head of camel to that, and it doesn't tell us how many head of cattle he had. He had 500 oxen to plow with, so he had a whole lot more than what's listed here. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone upon his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. So his sons and daughters here had a feast every day. Each one of them had a day, and they all came together to feast together. And so it was when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them. Job was concerned about his family. Job was concerned about his sons and daughters. Job was the priest of his house, and he brought into remembrance there. And he said, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. And over in Acts 16, 31, it says that we have authority, thy and thy household. And in Matthew 20:33, it says it again. So just as Job came and brought in remembrance before the Lord his sons and daughters in case they had said something or sinned or done something, we have the same right and privilege to come and to bring our household, thy and thy household, God says, and that we're responsible, but that we also can be responsible and to bring them to the kingdom. Just as the son told his dad he wanted everything of his, and he went his wayward way, but dad never quit looking for him. Every day he looked for him to come home. He brought him in remembrance before God that whatever he'd done and whatever he sins he'd committed while he was gone, he brought him in. Scripture doesn't say that, but we know that because he watched for him and saw him when he was yet afar off. He saw him coming. But the elder brother, who really had everything, was jealous because of it. So we need to learn to not be jealous about what God does for somebody else. We need to rejoice and be thankful for what the Lord does. But we have the authority that we can come and bring our household in remembrance before the Lord. And the scripture also says in Matthew, I got it here, 20:23, that we can remit their sins. It says, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. And we can do that for our families and our households and believe that God will take care of them for us. Even though it seems like the prodigal son, like they're gone and they'll never come back, God says, if we're faithful, he's faithful. Amen. Well, in Matthew, Jesus comes to John to be baptized. And in Matthew chapter 4, Satan shows up again. He has showed up other times through the scriptures. And when I taught on this the other day, I brought most of those places up for us to look at. But today we won't do that. But we'll go over here to chapter 4 of John. I believe it's... No, it's chapter 4 of Matthew. We'll get to John also before we finish here for our time here this morning. Jesus has come to John the Baptist to be baptized. And after he is baptized, Jesus goes out into the wilderness. And it says, and then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So the devil's alive and well here. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, if you are, but maybe you're not, command that these stones be made bread. Because there's a scripture stones, well, here, since both of them, we'll read on. And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. I can't tell you where that's at. I thought I had it in my head here a minute. But anyway, the scripture says, Jesus replied with, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And then the devil take him into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, Cast yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands thou shalt bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, you see, he's turning around and using, it is written, to Jesus, but he's using it in a wrong way. It's not correct. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. He showed him the airplanes running, and the highways, and the byways, and all the big cities, and he showed it to him. And then he said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now you notice Jesus did not contend with him, that he did not have the right to these things, because Adam had given him the kingdom of the world. And Jesus did not contend. But then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. And then the devil left him, and angels came and ministered unto him. But let's look over in Luke chapter 10 and see what Jesus said over here. In Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. And Jesus says here, well, let's read verse 17 too, because it's going to have a... And the 70 returned. Jesus had sent the 70 out and given them commanded them to go and to teach and to declare the kingdom. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So he said here that he knew who Satan was, and that he saw him as lightning fall from heaven. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus begins to deal with the kingdom of Satan. Chapter 8 of Matthew and verse 16. He says, And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. Now, if you want to be like Jesus, then we need to learn what Jesus did. And what Jesus did was heal the sick. He cast out devils. It says here, he cast out the devil and healed all that were sick. The very first thing he did was cast out the devil. He begins to contend with the kingdom of Satan. And then all through Jesus' ministry, he contends continually with casting out demons and casting out devils. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 32, it says, And they went out, and behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. Here is the devil again. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But 98% of the churches, regardless of the denomination, don't want to do anything with the devil. They say, We talk about him too much, and if you don't talk about him, why, he'll go away. Well, Jesus didn't talk with it about him. Jesus confronted him. And he confronted and started to tear down the kingdom of Satan. And he said that is our responsibility also. Well, in Matthew chapter 12, we find another incident. Well, there's many of them, but I've just picked up three or four here. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 22, it says, Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. But you notice, the first thing that was, he was possessed with a devil, and Jesus cast the devil out of him. And then he was healed, and he was both got his sight back, and he was not dumb anymore. He spake. Again in Matthew 17, there's another incident, and there's others in between here. But over in Matthew 17 and verse 14, it says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And it brought him unto thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me." You notice Jesus got upset with the disciples. He said, I told you what to do. Why didn't aren't you doing it? But bring him here to me. I'll do what you were supposed to do. And Jesus said unto them, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that day forth. Then came the disciples to Jesus and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. Lord, help our unbelief. Deliver us from unbelief, Lord, so that we can accomplish that for which you have called us to do. But Christians today, majority of Christians, don't want to believe that Christians have demons. They want to put the devil over here at Halloween in a red suit with horns and a tail and make a mockery. It's actually a mockery of Satan, and people come to believe that he's a myth and just something to be made fun of. But he's alive and well. He's alive and well in the earth today. And we need to, and here we believe that and we teach that. And, in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 1, Jesus said, And when he had called to him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and manner of disease. What was the number one thing that Jesus gave his disciples authority to do? Cast out the devil. He gave them power over unclean spirits, over demons. That was the very first thing that he gave them. And then all the rest was addition. But the first thing was to contend with Satan's kingdom. To contend with the kingdom of Satan. And in Luke chapter 4, we find here, verse 33 of chapter 4, we find Jesus doing something. And in the synagogue, where was it? It was in the church. In the church, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. You notice it's a devil again, but we're not supposed to talk about the devil. But here he is in the church. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us before our time? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, so we don't have to let the demons carry on. We can bind them and make them be quiet. And also, we don't have to let them thrash around. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace. Come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. So here is a place of demonic activity in the church. And we've got plenty of it in the church today. But what was Jesus' final instructions to everybody, disciples and to us? Where is that? Mark 16. Jesus gives final instructions before he left us as to what we are to do. And it says in verse 14, And afterward he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, now this was his orders unto the disciples, and those orders are the same to us today. We are instructed by the exact same order. And he said unto them, go into all the world, preach or teach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow you and me.
Right.
That believe in my name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall cast out devils, and we shall speak with new tongues, and we shall remove Satan, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. And we shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, the translation there, I feel some of you notice, I read some of you a little different. It says, take up serpents. But in the original, it says that you shall remove demons. It's not that you take them up and hold them in your hands, but you take them up and remove them. And it isn't a snake. It's a demon. And there, you know, all the little false teachings that are all over the world, and the one that we can handle snakes and not get hurt. But all that group, almost somebody dies almost every year from handling the rattlesnakes. And that's demonic. Can't get any more demonic than that. That's as bad as witchcraft and sorcery and demon worship, because that's what it is. That's what it is. Amen. Amen. Well, we're instructed the same today. We are commanded. It is a commandment. And God gave us the commandments and the statutes throughout the scriptures. He gave them to us because He loves us. He gave us, He said, don't do this and don't do that. He didn't say don't do this and don't do that, because it was something that was good for us, but because it's good for us, we can't do it. No, God said don't do this and do that because He loves us. He said if we'll keep His commandments, we'll have health and long life, and He'll take the sickness away from us. We'll not have sickness. But most of us, all of us, have been taught by our traditions that a lot of things of Scripture that God says don't do, that doesn't apply anymore, because that's Moses' law, and it's Old Testament, and we don't live under the Old Testament and law, we live under grace. Well, that is all true to that point, but that did not change God's commandments. God said, don't eat pork. But everybody says, Peter's vision says I can eat pork. No, Peter's vision don't say any such thing. Peter's vision says that when three heathen came and knocked at the door, and Peter had three visions of these unclean things come down, and these visions that he had represented all the clans, heathen clans and all, represented their standard, or their flag, or their banner that they all carried. Every clan, even today, in areas, they have flags that represent, that has a snake on it, or a lion, or a bear, or some other, or an eagle, or something, and it's their standard. And this is what Peter saw, because in his day, everybody had a standard. Everybody had a flag that represented their local community or their tribe, and Peter understood all of that, and these visions came down three times, and immediately, it doesn't say Peter went down and ate. It says immediately there were three heathen at the door, and Peter didn't question anything. He just said, "Here I am." They said, "Go with us." He said, "Gladly," and he went. And he went to a heathen's house. And then he got called on the carpet for that, because he went in and ate with them. But God showed him that, and also Paul, that people were not unclean, as had been taught up until that time, that God didn't come for the rest of the world. He only came for the Israelites, but God showed through Peter and through Paul that he came for all the world. And he said, in John 3:16, that God so loved the world, which included all the tribes of the earth. He said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But also, he said that we are to keep his commandments and his statutes. And if we do, he'll take all the diseases and sickness of Egypt and those that aren't written in the book away from us. And I believe some of those are AIDS and other blood diseases that have showed up in the last 10, 15 years that they can't find a cure for. But God says that there were other diseases besides what's listed that the Egyptians had. But he said that if we keep his commandments and his statutes, then none of these diseases will come upon us. And but our elders have been so smart that they have taken and twisted the word of the Lord and say that a lot of this is Moses' law. There's no place in the scripture ever where it's Moses. It always says, God said, Moses, you tell the children of Israel. It's always God said, and never Moses said. But then Moses went and said what God said for Moses to say. But they say, that's Moses' law, and we live under grace now, so none of that applies, but that's not so. And I'll show that to you in a moment, that it isn't so. Let's turn over to John 3:16. And read that. And we can quote it. Most everybody here could quote it. And it says, verse 14, it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We understand what that is. That is Jesus and Calvary. And that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So that whosoever, and we are whosoever's, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. I believe that he was crucified and rose again. I believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary. And that through his shed blood and through his stripes and scars that he carries from the whipping post, we have salvation and healing and remission of our sins. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved just Israel, that he gave his only Son. God just so loved you and me. No. And there are people who try to teach that certain races are not included in the atonement, that they are of another creation. My Bible doesn't teach that. My Bible says, and it says, for God so loved the world, all creation, that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever, and I'm a whosoever, believeth in or on him should not perish, but will have everlasting life. Amen, amen. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So God loves you and me. And all that he has given for us in the scriptures, the commandments and the statutes and all, he gave because he loved us. He gave because he wants us to have health and happiness. He wants us to have a happy relationship as a husband and wife. He wants us to have a blessed family. He wants us to be blessed. He blessed us with the statutes and the commandments. They are a blessing unto us. And we need to study and understand them and then live by them. I doubt that there's half of you here that have ever studied the statutes, unless you've been here and heard me teach on them. Leviticus chapter 16, 17, and 18. Numbers, Deuteronomy 23, Deuteronomy 27, 28. The cursing and the blessing. You need to study them. You need to make them part of your life. Because as you do that, you will come in to life. God said that that man's days shall be 70 years. And then he said, by so-and-so, they could be 80. But then he said, but what did he tell Noah? What did he tell Noah? He said, man's days shall be 120. And nowhere has that ever changed. Man's days are still 120 or more. But God promised, if we obey his commandments and his word and live by them to the best of our ability, that he had promised us a minimum of 70 years. And if something happens before 70 years, Satan has stolen it from you. If you die before 70 years, you say, what about this or that? Well, I can't account for these things. I can't account for why a baby dies or why something else. I'm not God, and so I can't answer your question. But God has promised to us sitting here, he's promised us, if we obey his word, he's promised us a minimum of 70 years. And I've reached my 70 and passed it. I'm 84. And I have better health right now, this moment, than I had the day I moved here when I was 53 years old. My health is far better today than it was the day I moved here in March of 1974, when I was 73 years old. And up until that time also, I had never stood behind a pulpit and spoken. And I never intended to when I came here. I thought there would always be somebody else that would do it. But it ended up that over the years, why Irma and I have stood here many, many times. And at first I didn't think, but it doesn't bother me anymore at all. I just feel... I never have a problem once I know I'm going to get up and talk or say, I really never have a problem with finding, if I have a subject or somebody tells me they'd like to hear me talk about something or something, I have no problem to do that. Once I have a subject in my head, I can talk for an hour or two on it without any problem. And that is a miracle. It is a miracle, because up until I was about 74 or 5, I had never really studied and brought a teaching. And since then, I guess I've done it a few hundred times, and will do it many more. But anyway, God's statutes and commandments are given to us because he loves us. Not because he hates us or because he wants to make us do something awful, but he's given it to us because he loves us. For he said he so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. So over in 1 John chapter 4, Jesus says here in verse 10, says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And John chapter 5, verse 3 says, for this is the love of God. Now notice, it says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus says, and I'm going to read this correctly, the King James translation, this appears four times in the Bible, and twice it's mistranslated. And verse 5 says, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and had made us to be a kingdom of priests unto our God, and to his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We are a kingdom of priests. We are not kings. Jesus is king. There is no other king besides Jesus. and we are his servants, his slaves. We are becoming a kingdom of priests in the earth. And then, Revelation chapter 22, Jesus tops it off, beginning with verse 10. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecies of this book, for the time is at hand. Yes, it truly is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his works shall it be. Grace, grace, grace. No works. Grace is our salvation. But after that, we are required to labor in the kingdom. Whether we come in early or late, our wages is the same, and we're not to be jealous of someone else. We're to fulfill our part of laboring in the kingdom. Blessed are they that do what? My commandments, that we may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are homosexuals, lesbians, bestiality, sorcery, whoremongers, murders, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh the lie. Evil spirits, pride. And it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify, well, that water of life, you could turn back to chapter 22 and read about it. It's that river running through with the trees of life on each side. And for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Mike's going to come this morning now and conclude our morning teaching.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.